This is Roger Bennett of Men in Blazers.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless.
You're listening to the Mouths of the South podcast.
Mouths of the South podcast, right here on Dirty South Soccer.
Rock on.
Eat it up.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
All right, Atlanta, what is up? We are back with another exciting edition of the Mouths of the South podcast, a special edition of the Mouths of the South podcast, as we gave you last week our thoughts on Atlanta United hiring Tata Martino. Well, now we have some thoughts for some friends of ours. Of course, the Mouths of the South podcast is brought to you by DirtySouthSoccer.com, your home on the web for all things Atlanta United and Atlanta soccer. I am Sam Franco. He is Eric Quintana.
Sup?
Eric, what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm excited about this. We've got Paul Tenorio. We've got Doug Robertson. We've got Matt Doyle. We've got Alexi Lawless. Who else do we have? Kristen Hennage. We've got a cast of characters here. Plus, an additional one on Wednesday, possibly out by Thursday, that we'll tell you about a little later.
That's exactly right. But first, we have some housekeeping to get to. And I will start off by saying we're going to give you the phrase that pays here in a minute. But first, we have a way for you all to show us how much you love us.
Yeah, it's Patreon.com. Patreon.com. And you can go to Patreon.com/MOTS podcast. You can basically become a sponsor of the show yourself. It's basically where you can go and donate $3, $5, $10 a month to specifically our podcast, the Mouths of the South podcast. And you can help us do more for you guys. So things like live broadcast, more giveaways, potentially giving away stuff that we have made, like hats or mugs or t-shirts. I mean, how cool would it look to have a beer mug that had the Mouths of the South logo on it? How badass would that be?
Or even just like decals that you can
put anything
on your own things. That would be pretty cool. Like I've seen like a bunch of people have like Yeti mugs and stuff with like different decals on it. How cool would it be to have a Yeti mug and then put, you know, the Mouths of the South decal on it? So I also have an idea for a Mouths of the South shirt where it's like our logo with the mouth and then a bunch of like Pac-Man ghosts with like different MLS team logos on it. And it's just like our logo just eating those. So I thought that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, anything you guys could think of, you know, we'd be open to that as well. But yeah, we want to... this isn't us trying to make money. This is us trying to get money to put back into the podcast to make it even better for you guys and make the experience of listening to the Mouths of the South better for you guys. So again, patreon.com, patreon.com/MOTS podcast. And anything works, you know, pledge as little as $3 or pledge as much as, you know, $300, although the bigger donations are probably more geared towards businesses and things like that.
We do have our first goals, though. So you already know about the first jersey giveaway we're doing. We want to do another one if we get to a certain amount. You know, basically $100 is the first amount we want to get to. And if we get to $400, Sam, what can you get with $400?
You know, maybe a couple of Xboxes. For me, that would be like a payment and a little extra on my car each month. But I think there's also one more thing. What is it?
Atlanta United season tickets.
Oh, maybe? That's right. That's right. Yes. And, we buy a season ticket and give it away. Who knows? You
know? Maybe. That's just one of the things that we'd like to do for you guys, for listening. To anyone who either might not have season tickets yet, why wouldn't you? But... maybe someone who's late to the party, but that's the kind of stuff we want to do. We want to be able to give away and give stuff back to you guys for being loyal listeners to the show. So if you get a chance, patreon.com/MOTS podcast. If you can't find it that way, just go to patreon.com and search for MOTS or the Mouths of the South podcast, and it should come right up. If not, it's on our Twitter feed. We'll pin it to the to Twitter and all that stuff. We'll put it on our little bio, so you can find it easily there at some point.
Exactly. So definitely looking forward to getting that off the ground. And, you know, we may end up not getting, you know, anything from it, or we may end up getting some cool donations from listeners like you. So we will we'll definitely
PBS right here.
Know. That's exactly what I was saying there. But we will definitely let y'all know the progress on that. All right, our other little piece of housekeeping, of course, you mentioned the jersey giveaway, and we are doing that right now. The phrase that pays. And right now, we are going to give you word number three. We've already given you words number one and word number two, but we will not be giving you those again. You got to go back and find those on your own. This is like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, you know? go listen to the podcast.
Exactly. So word number three right now is, drum roll please, belongs. B-E-L-O-N-G-S, belongs. That is word number three in the phrase that pays Atlanta United jersey giveaway. So make sure to write that down or, you know, do whatever. And I will say that, remember, this is a phrase that has been uttered on an episode of the Mouths of the South podcast before.
I did have a friend ask me for some hints. So no hints will be given.
Yeah, no hints.
I told him the same thing Sam just told you guys, the phrase we've uttered before. Even if you're my bestest of friends, sorry, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you don't get hints. Come on, man. Do the work. Stop being lazy. Do the work yourself, guys. You can piece this together. We need to find our mouthy version of Sherlock Holmes here. So we are definitely hoping that somebody cracks the case here. But for now, word number three is belongs. All right. We will now jump into our series of interviews, and this will obviously be something pretty cool. We gave you our thoughts on the Tata Martino hiring last week, and now we will start giving you the thoughts of other people, and that will include, later on this week, El Presidente himself, Fernando Fiore, the man who you will remember from Fox Soccer, Fox Sports' Copa America coverage this past summer. A man who is an Argentinian, very passionate about the Argentine national team. He will have some insight on Tata Martino and what that will mean for Atlanta United. And I'm sure he'll even have some insight on our man Tito Villalba. So we are definitely looking forward to speaking with El Presidente.
It'll be color commentary for the podcast that's happening. I mean, it'll be just humorous anecdotes and just all around tomfoolery, if you will.
That's exactly right. And, obviously, if I have some serious thoughts on the whole thing, we think that he's obviously a very, very good and worthy soccer analyst. But he will also have, like you said, some fun anecdotes and some fun little stories there. So that's going to be something really cool that we have coming up for you guys. But right now, we have a bunch of interviews that we've done. I had a lot of pleasure talking with Alexi Lalas, and Eric did a lot of great groundwork on the rest of these. So we will start with Alexi Lalas, of course, friend of the Mouths of the South podcast and also a soccer analyst for Fox Sports. He also has a new album out called Shots. It's actually really good. I listened to most of it a few weeks back, and not what I was expecting, especially after listening to his music coming out of the World Cup, where he wrote just kind of little acoustic songs, like one of them about Bob Lee, the general, and how perfect his hair is from down in the World Cup set at Alexi's time with ESPN. But this is definitely more produced, more polished, and it's actually really good. So again, check that out. Shots by Alexi Lalas, Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, etc. But that's not what we're here for right now. We're here for him to tell us his thoughts on Atlanta United hiring Tata Martino. So Alexi, take it away. And Alexi Lalas joins us right now. Of course, Atlanta United hiring Tata Martino to be their first manager. Alexi, thanks so much for giving us some time. And what did you think of the Tata Martino hire by Atlanta United?
I thought it was big, bold, arrogant, everything that I like in a club and in a player and in a person, to be quite honest with you, or a person in the entertainment industry, which was what we're in. But it's also ambitious, aspirational. But I also think that it is fraught with risk. And I think there's a high risk, high reward type of scenario here, because our league is littered with coaches that have had little to no experience with the league coming in and really having a hard time adjusting. And you only get one chance to make a first impression. So this is an interesting hire, to say the least. And it got my attention.
Now, you've played with a bunch of different people in a bunch of different leagues over the years in your career, and the language barrier is something that was brought up by a good bit of Atlanta United fans and people kind of in the American sports audience in general are always like, speak English, you know? So, and I don't really think it's that big of a deal because look at clubs all around the world. You know, you have a guy like Pep Guardiola managing at Bayern Munich, which is, you know, a German team, and he's a Spanish manager. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal, but what are your thoughts on the language barrier?
Well, usually what people say to this is, the language that you use is soccer, and everybody understands that. Now, that's a little simplistic. You do have to have an understanding and a communication between the players, especially for the first coach in history of a team and what you are being tasked with. What I've found over my time is that, look, you don't have to become fluent. You just have to understand and I think go out of your way to show that you are trying to learn. And I think that translates to the fans. And I think it translates to the players that you are willing to do the things in order to get that communication so that you can have that, because that is going to dictate a lot of your success right now. Is it absolutely essential? No, but I think this is a unique situation given that he is the first coach in history. And you know, talking to technical director there, Carlos Bocanegra, he told me that this is not a situation where the technical director, Carlos, is dictating how they're going to play and the philosophy and the style of play. They're going to kind of figure it out as they go along, which is interesting in that they're giving him this responsibility, Tata Martino, to kind of develop and set out how this team is going to look when you pay money to go watch Atlanta United.
You mentioned a minute ago that arrogance, that brashness of making a hire of a guy that has never worked in MLS and doesn't have experience at this level. But at the same time, he's a guy who is very experienced in many different soccer circles. So with that in mind, that arrogance, that brashness that Atlanta United is showing, does this just kind of go along with what you've seen from Atlanta United so far in making this hire?
I mean, look, they have obviously a huge personality with deep pockets in terms of ownership with Arthur Blank and that association there, and they have done it right from the start. But Tata Martino's not going to kick a single ball, as far as I know. So ultimately, the product on the field, which is part of Tata's responsibility, that's going to dictate whether this is a success or not. And they have got to, in a very short order, field a team. And they have to do now, I think, on-the-field moves that are going to make you stand up and say, and stuff that lives up to this coaching decision that they have. And I think they will. They got the money. I think that they have the ambition to do it. But ultimately, there's a referee that's going to kick a whistle next year, and that team's going to start playing. And it doesn't matter how great a profile a coach you have on the sideline. As a matter of fact, it might even add expectations and further pressure when you do have a big high-profile coach on the sideline. And we're going to have to judge them ultimately on what appears on the field in terms of that product.
So Tata Martino has that kind of tiki-taka style. Where do you see that fitting into MLS?
Well, look, this is a very different scenario. We know about the incredible manufactured parity that MLS employs, and you can just look at the race of the players right now to see it play out. And so this is not a situation where he's coaching at Barcelona or coaching Argentina or something like that, where you have, you know, all the best players and many of the world-class and the best players in the world at your disposal. So you're going to have to – his coaching chops are really going to be put to the test here to figure out a way to be successful in a league where very little can sometimes separate teams. So as far as the tiki-taka style and stuff like that, that was also dependent on the environment that he was in. And I think it would be very difficult for someone right off the bat to do something like that. It doesn't mean that you can't have a style, but I think it's going to be a very different type of style than maybe we associate with him in the past, just because of the realities of what he has at his disposal.
All right, bottom line on this hire, give it a grade and give us your thoughts on how you see this kind of playing out with this hire being made until Atlanta United starts the season next year.
I think I would grade it as an A-. You don't get an A+ because obviously the team hasn't started playing yet. But as far as making a splash, it's definitely an A-. I think really what's going to dictate the success of this, some of the stuff we've talked about, but also just like anything in business or in life, you surround yourself with quality, and surrounding him with people that understand the league, but also have a respect for him, and ultimately have him make that final decision with the information provided, I think is going to be essential. And that's what Carlos Bocanegra and his staff there have to make sure they do. I'll be really interested to see who is on that staff around him as assistant coaches.
And really quickly before I let you go, what have you thought of the Atlanta United signing so far?
Let's see. They have a designated player. So I think that they're really targeting Central and South America, especially now with an Argentinian connection. So I think that that will be interesting. But look, this expansion draft, they're only going to get five players this year as opposed to previous expansion drafts. So that's going to be fun to see who they ultimately pick and how this team is put together. But this is the job. And I think that they're definitely going to go out there on the market and spend some money as they should. And give us a team that lives up to all of this hype. Now, it's all fine and well to be big, bold, and arrogant, but then, as we know in all walks of life, when you're screaming and yelling about yourself and saying, look at me, then you better be prepared to back it up when the game starts.
Alexi Lalo, thank you so much for some time on the hire of Tata Martino by Atlanta United.
Thanks.
All right, that was Alexi Lalas with his thoughts on the Tata Martino hiring, and A-. That's a pretty solid little grade there.
It's pretty good. I like it. I agree. I mean, who wouldn't? The only reason it's not higher is because you don't know what kind of talent he's going to have to coach, and that'll take time, obviously, and hopefully he can be a part of that process.
Exactly. So thank you, Alexi, for doing that. He did say he would love to come back on with us a little bit before the season, with some sign, you know, obviously with a full team and things like that. So we look forward to having a full Alexi Lalas version of the Mouths of the South podcast. Alexi Lalas part, I guess, two or maybe two and a half, I guess, depending on what we just consider.
Is this three now? Because we've done three interviews with them now.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I didn't know this wasn't really a full, you know, interview this time. But yeah, we'll call it three. Why not? So we're looking forward to getting that when we do. But up next, Matthew Doyle, the MLS analyst, at MLS analyst on Twitter. Also, by the way, Alexi Lalas was at Alexi Lalas on Twitter, just to throw that out there. But yeah, Matthew Doyle, at MLS analyst. He is the armchair analyst on MLSsoccer.com, and he also has some very interesting things to say about Tata.
Matt Doyle joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast, MLSsoccer.com, MLS analyst on Twitter. Matt, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Atlanta United obviously hires Tata Martino. Those that follow MLS know the struggle MLS has been for foreign managers. But what was your initial thoughts on the hire by Atlanta United?
Well, just in terms of marketing and making a splash and showing intent in terms of being a internationally recognized club, I think it's huge. We haven't seen MLS teams hire managers like this for quite some time. I think you probably have to go back to someone like Ruud Gullit 10 years ago, and maybe Carlos Alberto Pereira 10 years before that. So that's big for Atlanta, but baked into that analysis, you see the problems. Right. Neither Ruud Gullit nor Carlos Alberto Pereira were even remotely successful in this league. So I think you see the upside and you see the potential pitfall as well. And you hope that the front office understands that. And you know, someone like Carlos Bocanegra, who's been around for, you know, 20 years in U.S. soccer in one level or another, and is a clever guy, I think hopefully does.
Given the moves that Atlanta United's already made, and Kenwyn Jones and Hector Villalba and signing guys like Andrew Carlton, does this move make sense? Does this kind of fit into what Atlanta United's been sort of doing as of yet?
I mean, I think it does because, you know, Martino, he's known as the guy who's managed Messi for the last 5 years, but he has a track record before that. I thought he did really good work with Paraguay for a while. I'm not super familiar with that Newell's Old Boy team that he took for a couple of years in Argentina from the bottom of the table to near the top, but apparently they developed a lot of good young players. So I think that it sort of checks a lot of the boxes from what you want, because let's be honest here, if Andrew Carlton doesn't get a lot of minutes and doesn't develop, a lot of fans justifiably are not going to see next year as a success. No matter what else happens, the fans are going to want to see the Wunderkind get onto the field and make a difference.
Powder Springs Messi.
Yeah, Powder Springs Pulisic.
Oh, Pulisic, yeah, that's right.
you got to remember your alliteration if you're going for that.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's the guy to do that.
You know, having that Argentine pipeline, if you will, that's always not a bad thing considering how Argentine players have played in MLS. Do you think that was a factor? Do you think that played a role in maybe them hiring a guy from Argentina?
I mean, it could have. If you look at the number of great clubs and great international teams around the world that have Argentinian managers, I don't think that's an accident. And you look again, as you said, the number of great Argentinian players in this league, that's not an accident either. I think one too many coincidences there. But I think over the next 5 to 10 years, MLS teams will be judged more and more frequently on how they develop their own players, how much they get out of their academy kids and their local kids, not as much on how great are your DP signings. So, I mean, hopefully Tata Martino is the type of guy who can check all the boxes. And, you know, I like the Villalba signing, and hopefully there's a Mauro Diaz-esque signing coming as well. But more to the point, I hope that Atlanta can do with their academy what New York and Dallas and RSL and I guess to an extent LA have done with theirs.
The style of play Martino has been associated with, you know, that school of the Bielsa school of thought, if you will. Do you think that translates to MLS? Do you think he'll find? I mean, assuming he gets the right players and all that stuff, do you right. assume that'll translate well to MLS?
Well, I think Jesse Marsh is a Bielsista, and he's got his team. They won a title last year. I think if you look at the advanced stats, they're probably one of the two or three best teams this year. So I think that it does translate if you get the right players, and that's the struggle. New York's done a good job of getting the right players. With Atlanta United coming from scratch, it's going to be pretty tough.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Carlos Bocanegra and Darren Eales talked about, putting him, filling the front office with at least one or two guys that know MLS and that know the ins and outs and the rules and different things about MLS that maybe Martino isn't super familiar with yet. Are there any one or two names that you think of off the top of your head that might be a good fit for Atlanta?
Look, I would definitely consider taking a run at Robin Fraser if you can pry him away from TFC. I think he's considered by most to be one of, if not the top assistants in the league. If I was Minnesota United, he would probably be first on my list for managers. The other guy is Josh Wolf, who's a local boy for you guys. That would be very, very interesting and I think a good call. But at the same time, if Tata Martino's making the meal, you gotta let him choose not just the ingredients, but his sous chef as well.
Right.
So I suspect he'll have some input in that process.
And then last question, the language barrier, is that an issue, or are people in Atlanta making too much? Well, people in the media making too much of it.
I mean, it's not nothing, but I think it's something that if you get the right assistant and you get the right guys around him, and he is serious about working through it and learning English at a good level, then he'll do just fine.
Here, his wife is a English teacher, so hopefully he picks on that fast.
that should be an easy out, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
MLSsoccer.com, MLS analyst on Twitter, Matt Doyle. Thank you so much for coming on the Mouths of the South podcast.
I'll do it again soon.
Thank you, sir. Thanks so much to Matt Doyle, MLSsoccer.com, at MLS analyst on Twitter. He's a little more wait and see. a reasonable wait and see. He wants to wait and see what happens with the players and everything like that. So it's understandable. Up next, Atlanta's own, AJC's own, let's put it that way, Doug Robertson. joins us on the Mouths of the South podcast. Joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast, Doug Roberson. Doug, you were there at the Tata Martino introductory press conference. You actually mentioned how there was more media there for a soccer event than you'd ever seen in about 7 years, right?
Yeah, I think if you were to put all of them together, yeah. There were more domestic media there than it, all the events combined for the past 7 years. It was impressive.
What did you think of the hire? I know that I don't think anyone really thought that Martino was the way they were going to go, but now that it's official, what do you think?
Well, nothing that Atlanta United has done, none of the hires they've made have been what I expected. So this was also unexpected, mm-hmm. but I think it's a really good hire. You know, Eric Winalda has a phrase that you hear on his show that players win games and managers lose them and referees ruin them. But I think that this hire is such that he's going to be a positive difference maker as soon as the players kind of learn the system and are able to communicate amongst each other on the field what it is they need to do. And that'll just take a little bit of time.
Considering everything they've done off the field in terms of the academy, the players they have signed, you know, does this kind of seem like a perfect fit for Atlanta United and what they're trying to do?
Yeah, it does. I can remember when they did the press conference for the training center in Marietta, when they did it at the Arthur M. Blank headquarters. Mm-hmm. And I had asked Richard Muddy, the academy director, if they were going to try to install a kind of unified philosophy throughout the teams so that as the kids moved up, they weren't having to relearn the alphabet. You know, they would know this is what I need to do. They just got to get used to the speed and the size of the players they're facing. And so, you know, with that being one of the primary reasons that they hired Martino is that he can install that philosophy from the senior team on down and work with all those academy coaches and with Richard and with Tony. It makes so much sense. I don't know if other MLS teams do that. I need to do some more research. But if they don't, they should, because it works. It's kind of that Holland system of the 4-3-3 that everybody plays. It just produces good players and good results.
One of the things that I noticed, you wrote a piece on the spike in season ticket sales that went up after I guess they were made available to the general public and this hire was announced. I forget who asked the question in the press conference, but someone asked about – oh, no, sorry. Someone asked Tata about, you know, getting to know the club and everything, and then he mentioned the season tickets. He actually said, and the translator, I think, missed this, you know, Darren and Carlos let me know when it was at 20,000, then at 22, then at 25. You asked if there had been a big spike, and I forget who you're talking. I think it was Ann Rodriguez who said that there had been a big spike. Is there anything more on that?
No, she wouldn't give me a number. She said we're not ready to release what the next number is, but it's interesting that Martino said it's past 25,000. I mean, if that's true, if he's not mistaken, a 3,000 bump in just a few days compared to when – or a few weeks compared to when they released the 22, I mean, that's significant. I mean, that's really a significant spike.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that he could have misspoken. He could have just said that number off the top of his head, knowing. I'm not saying that that's an absolute fact. The timeline that Martino has to go with over the next 6 months or so before – Atlanta United kicks off, you know, what does that look like for him?
It's going to be busy, busy, busy. They have 7 players signed. I'll be really, really surprised if more than 4 of them make the senior roster coming out of training camp. So they've got to sign a whole bunch of guys, scout and sign a whole bunch of guys. And you know, just because there might be quality players out there, that doesn't mean they're going to fit within the system that he wants to run. So then that makes the job even more difficult. It sounds like y'all reported and he said that he's already got most of his staff hired. So that will help in the scouting. I'm sure he's already got a lot of players that he's interested in, trying to secure for Atlanta United from his knowledge of the Argentinian leagues and other leagues in South America. And I'm sure it's some young players who want to play for him because he's got bona fides. So that's going to dominate the next 100 days, 200 days for him. And it's going to be fun to watch.
Have people been, you know, reacting to the stuff that you're writing, kind of expressing their excitement? You know, what's sort of been the initial impact in terms of for the audience with this hire? And now that, you know, the team is a lot more, you know, full at this point, obviously not totally full, but we know we now have a coach. We now have players we can look at. You know, we have the academy up and running. You know, is the level of excitement, has that increased in your, well, from what you've seen in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'll share two little things. I've only heard one negative comment about this hire, and I'm not going to say who it was from because, you know, it's just how we are.
Right.
Only one negative hire. I've had more people who have become casual soccer fans in the past couple of years because of the coverage of the Premier League and the coverage of Major League Soccer telling me they think it's a great hire and asking me what I think about the hire. And it's guys who I wouldn't normally expect to talk about soccer or who have become soccer fans. Wes Durham, I was just speaking with him a few minutes ago about a story I'm writing for Georgia Tech. He was talking to me about Martino. That was the first thing we talked about was soccer and Atlanta United before we even got into ACC football. It's people like that. And you know, the kids that I cover on the football teams, you can see them talking about soccer and hear talking about it. So, I mean, they don't seem to be doing a whole lot wrong yet. All that could change, you know, with a few losses at the beginning of the season.
Right.
People could turn, but, you know, you can't really help that. But so far, yeah, it seems like the excitement level is increasing and it's going to be fun.
The importance for you, in your opinion, of a, you know, an MLS savvy assistant, you know, how important is that to you?
I think it's pretty important. I mean, I was impressed that Martino had that notebook of MLS teams that Carlos and Darren talked about. My level of impressiveness was diminished just a little bit when he said that part of that was put together by Atlanta United. but it's still interesting that he asked for it and got it and had gone through it. But to have an assistant coach who's just going to be able to help with the scouting reports, who knows the personnel, who knows tendencies of coaches and set pieces and free kicks and travel and all those things that this team hasn't had to do yet, even the little minutiae that you don't think about. Well, you know, what hotel is better to stay at than this one? What's the better what's the better airport? What restaurants are, you know, that silly little stuff that you just kind of encounter as you build your experience within the league are going to be very, very important, particularly when the guys are still trying to learn each other and this coaching staff has never coached in the United States before, which is a whole challenge unlike anything else except maybe in Russia, just from a geography and weather standpoint. So no, it's a huge, huge priority, I think, for Darren Eales and the team.
Any names that you've seen out there that you might, if you could, suggest to Darren?
Just the ones that everybody knows. You know, the one Grant Wall threw out, Josh Wolf a few months ago. That wouldn't surprise me. I know Clint Mathis is doing commentary right now, but he has assistant coaching in his resume. That wouldn't surprise me. But as I said at the beginning of this, nothing that I think they're going to do is what they do. So who knows?
I will say, if you had told me 2 years ago when this team was first announced that we'd be talking about Atlanta United in the same breath as Barcelona and the Argentina national team, I wouldn't have believed you.
Or Tottenham.
Tottenham, yeah.
Or captain of the U.S. men's national team being the technical director.
Very true.
I mean, a certified, solid Premier League striker leading the line for Atlanta United. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have thought any of that, but it's all happened.
And it's been fun. Fun having you on. Thank you so much for joining us. Doug Roberson of the AJC. Make sure you catch his stuff. At Doug Roberson on Twitter?
It's at Doug Roberson AJC on Twitter.
Yep. There you go. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thanks, Eric. See you later, man.
See you.
All right, that was Doug Roberson from the AJC at Doug Roberson AJC on Twitter. Our man, Doug Roberson. Thanks, Doug, for doing that for us. And yeah, just more good Tata info there. And I'll say this, just as a little joke, I guess, if you all real quick. There's been some rumors about Minnesota United possibly talking or maybe reaching out to Sam Allardyce, the now disgraced England manager. And I'll say this, if they do make that hire, if that's even a thing that's actually happening, Atlanta United is already way, way in the driver's seat.
It'd be fun for MLS. Let's put it that way. I don't think anyone's in the position, any team's in the position to try to rehabilitate his image, I guess. But if Minnesota wants to take a crack at it, by all means,
that would be astonishing. I mean, I don't believe that link because I just can't believe that a team would actually be serious about that. But anyway,
who we got next?
We are moving on now to Kristen Hennage. He is a soccer writer, producer, broadcaster, whatever you want to call it for. And his work has been featured all over the place. Yahoo Sports UK, 442, CNN, ITV Football, Guardian Sport, and others. So without any further ado, here is Kristen Hennage.
Joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast, Kristen Hennage. He's written for Yahoo Sports, 442, CNN, Guardian, and but calls himself a freelance journalist, and he humbles himself that way. Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thanks. I'm glad to be able to sit down and talk Atlanta for a little bit.
You've obviously heard the news that Martino has been hired. Considering the past expansion teams and what they've done and going with domestic names for the manager slot, what did you think of this sign or hiring when a Martino was announced?
I must admit, I was very surprised. In a lot of positive ways, I should add, because I think if you look at this man's resume, at least in the recent period of it, it's very impressive. He's worked with the elite, and I think what will serve him best is essentially he is one of the disciples of Bielsa, which sounds like a religious order, but I promise it's not. He's in the mold almost of Pochettino and that kind of coach. Granted, he's a little bit older than Mauricio is, but he wants high pressure, he wants high intensity. And I think looking at some of the players that Atlanta have signed already, it's that difficult thing of they've had to build part of the roster before they've had a coach. It's a little bit cart before the horse.
Right.
I actually think some of these players, Villalba being the one that really jumps out to me, will be ideal for that kind of thing. I think he gives them almost a foothold in the global market instantly to take things ever so slightly away from the football field for a second. And in that sense, it satisfies a lot of different criteria. Because I talked to Carlos Bocanegra about this, and he says that they think locally, act globally. And I think in hiring Martino, you could argue they've done that, because they've got someone that I think will work very well with those domestic players, may even actually help tap into the Latino market in the US in terms of players, not fans, because I think that's chronically underserved at this precise moment in MLS. There's not enough teams that make the most of the Latin talent based in the US in men's leagues and such like, but we could talk about that for hours. But I also think he has the name resonance or the name awareness to make it so that you're reading Atlanta's name in Asia, in South America, even in England, which again is not something you readily do unless you're kind of shoehorning it into Carlos and his career over here with right. Fulham and things like that.
Have you talked to people, across the global soccer media, atmosphere? What have people been saying? Are they more surprised or impressed, or what's been the reaction globally?
I think those first two words are very prominent. I think people are surprised. Obviously, Tata has talked about wanting to build something and the idea of it being a project. I think, honestly, that's what appeals to a lot of coaches, is that relative to the leagues across the globe, MLS is still in its infancy. It's 20 years this year, which is a beautiful thing to celebrate. And yet that is still so young next to its brothers and sisters. I think as well people are surprised in the sense that he's gone from Argentina. Now, the Argentina period of his career with the national team, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it as he took them to three finals, or you can look at it as he lost three finals. Mm. And I think depending on which narrative you cling to, that will then influence how you look at Atlanta. You will look at it as this is someone taking the best job that he can get after a bad spell with Argentina. Or you can look at it as this is someone who wants to try something different after a frustrating spell and a fair degree of success with Argentina. I personally find myself sitting a little bit in the middle. I think the period with Argentina, it had its benefits to his career. I think it also had his drawbacks. You can't blame him in isolation, because really Gonzalo Higuain is, for me, the bigger culprit, along with Messi and the players for not delivering. Because funny enough, I was actually at the final in Rutherford, East Rutherford this summer. So I don't think it's fair to entirely blame him. I also think, again, he wants to build something. I think he wants to be part of something. When he was at Newell's with Bielsa, Bielsa loved him, and they had, I would say, a decent amount of success. They won the Argentine Primera Division, I think, three times altogether. And so this is a chance for him to now build something and become almost that teacher, that professor of sorts. And I think when you have the opportunity to do that, as a football man myself, I think you've got to take it. It's a job that I would take hands down if I was in his position.
Yeah, I think that most people associate Tata most closely with Barcelona and Argentina, you know, for obvious reasons, because those are the bigger clubs. But what he's done, what he did with Newell's Old Boys and the Paraguay national team, who at least the Paraguay national team, you know, decent talent, but not world beaters. And he took them to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And, you know, what he's able to do with that kind of a talent, you know, kind of building players up. You know, that's something that I know Carlos was extremely – that's what intrigued him most. That's what attracted him most to Martino in the first place.
Mm. And, I mean, if you look at just his record, that win percentage, it only drops below 50 with Paraguay. And yet he took them to the far end of the Copa America in 2011, finished runner-up. So his record, I think, stands for itself as being very impressive. It is, as I say, it's those – two finals with Argentina that kind of stumbled him, because you know he wasn't able to take them over the line for the Copa America. And I think honestly, you know, I now feel a bit bad saying it was three finals, because obviously it was just the two. I feel like in some respects that was one of the things he had to battle against, was the hangover or the mental block of the 2014 final, then seeping into his tenure with the 2015 in Chile and then the 2016 in the States.
Are you surprised with how well Carlos and Darren and you know the front office for Atlanta United have been kind of going at this, the expansion thing? I mean, you already mentioned that he says, you know, thinking locally and acting globally, and that's exactly what they're doing, especially with a hire like this. You know, we're still hearing rumors about, you know, Guardado and what he may – if he may come – but it just Martino seems to be almost a perfect fit when you include the academy and everything they're trying to do to coach that club.
I would say so. I think the thing with having Darren on board, if I remember correctly, he had a decent involvement in Orlando City as well, and so they've brought in people that I think have tread this path before. And so have learned, arguably, from where not to walk and where not to step. There are certainly elements. I think Richard Money as the academy director isn't a bad move. Jorge Alvalal is as the chief scout. He comes with a good pedigree. There's a lot of smart football minds in there. There's a lot of minds that I would argue have come from good clubs. You've then also got, near the top of that tree, Carlos, who knows MLS. That for me is where you need to blend the two. And I think that's actually something that New York City FC have got quite right, is they've brought someone like Patrick in, and he, I think, has the tactical acumen to know how to organise a group of players and put them in the best position. They also have the likes of Claudio Reyna in there to fill in those knowledge gaps where he doesn't maybe understand the best way to use the trade system, the best way to use targeted allocation money or general allocation money. And it's that idea of delegating amongst the group to make sure that the best decisions are made using the best minds.
Based on what you're seeing now in terms of the players that Atlanta United has already acquired and you know, just knowing the playing style Martino typically has introduced to his clubs, do you think he finds success in MLS?
I think he does. I mean, this is one of the difficult things with MLS, I find, is how do you quantify success? Is it a supporter shield? Is it an MLS Cup? Is it a US Open Cup? Is it just making the playoffs? I mean, I consider it a success for Vieira to have made the playoffs in his first season to draw that comparison. I think he will advance your club forward. And at this precise moment, you could argue the second that you kick a football in Major League Soccer, your club has advanced forward. I think he will give you a foundation for success. And I personally believe he'll be able to mould the likes of Andrew Carlton, those local guys from the region, alongside the likes of Villalba, Jones, McCann, those who've come from abroad. And that's the big thing for me, is that, again, Carlos lived in a variety of countries, lived in Spain and France, England, Scotland. And I talked to him about that specifically and the cultural elements. And he seems to me, and backed it up with his words, someone that has been very heavily influenced by the different cultures he's lived in, and that he's taken a slither from each almost. And I think that will come across in the way that this football club is organised. And I think it's telling by the fact that already you've got an Argentine, a Greek, a Ghanaian, an Irishman, someone from El Salvador, the States, and now an Argentinian coach. They really are looking, as we alluded to there before, globally at this club, and where can we draw the best ideas from? And let's not limit ourselves to just our continent.
Kristen Hedage, freelance writer, has written for Yahoo Sports, 442, CNN, Guardian. So overall, good hire, right?
Most definitely.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Kristen Hennage, writer, freelance writer for Yahoo Sports UK, 442, CNN, Guardian. He's a well-respected soccer reporter, so make sure you follow his stuff whenever you get a chance. Yeah, more good things. He's happy. He actually gave us a little something that we'll feature later in a later episode about Guardado. A little teaser right there, but it's all good. I mean, it was good to get that global perspective on what this hire meant and how it kind of puts them on the map. Coming up next, Paul Tenorio, another MLS name people should recognize, a 442 writer, sideline reporter for Chicago Fire. So another well-respected reporter within MLS. So
a guy we've talked to before.
Again, yeah, there you go. Another friend of the show. So let's get to it. Paul Tenorio joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast, 442 writer and sideline reporter for the Chicago Fire. Paul Tenorio, how are things?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, as always. Tata Martino in Atlanta. Give me a sense of what the reaction around MLS has been with people you might have talked to.
Well, I think in most people that I talked to, it was curious, I think is the best word to put it. They're curious to see how it works out. Obviously, this is a coach with a very prestigious background, especially the last two jobs that he's held. But there have been struggles for some foreign coaches. Now, as I wrote in my piece, I think a lot of people do recognize and look at the fact that Atlanta has a balance in place with Carlos Bocanegra, with Paul McDonough, to help to navigate those MLS rules, the things that can make things tricky. And I do believe that Atlanta is planning on hiring an MLS experienced assistant coach to help with the on-field staff side of things. And so if that happens, I think, there is a good balance there to help Martino and to maybe fight off some of those things that have hurt foreign managers in the past. But for the most part, I think that the people are curious to see how it works out. And I think also, up high in my story, I wrote about the fact that this is one of the few teams in MLS that's capable of paying for a coach of this level. And I think most people I spoke to around the league, that was one of the first things that they pointed out, is that there aren't a lot of teams that can pay the type of money that Atlanta probably paid to get Martino on staff.
Considering, Carlos and Darren talked about his love for, growing, developing youth and all that, and giving what Atlanta United has been able to do with their academy so far, does this move make a lot of sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. They have to have a coach that's capable of developing young players and of a willingness to play those guys as well. This is not a league where you can go out and buy a full squad. You just... The salary cap restrictions, no matter how much MLS wants to say it's a soft cap, the salary cap restrictions are such that you can't do it. You can't buy a team. You can buy three designated players. You can buy a couple targeted allocation guys, and then you've got to build the rest of your roster with guys that are being paid between $50,000 and $150,000, and that's the reality of this league. And so to be able to develop young guys and to have a strong connection within the academy is essential. And I think any coach who comes into this league has to have some aspects of being able to develop young talent. And I'll credit, for example, look at Patrick Vieira, the history he has coming over from coaching a youth side. And I think that really helped him, because if you look at some of the guys like Jack Harrison and Kyrie Shelton, they've really come along this season. And so, that's a big part of their success as well, not just the amazing season of Davi Villa.
Coming from that, Bielsa school of thought, when it comes to tactics, do you think that's something that translates or that he can implement with Atlanta United, given the players he has now, and something that'll translate to MLS?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen teams press an MLS to great success. I think the Red Bulls are a good example of that. Sporting Kansas City, when they were a younger team, I think executed that very well under Peter Vermes. So to play a high-octane pressing system is definitely something that can translate. The important part is finding the pieces capable of doing that. You have to be, I think, a younger team. You have to have speed and also tactical discipline on the back end. So I think the most important signings when you're talking about pressing like this is going to be in the defensive midfield, finding guys who are capable of covering a lot of ground and also having a good understanding of when to go and when to stay and having a partnership in doing so. And I think also at center back in this league, you know, you have to have guys who are very smart at center back who can read the game well, but also who can communicate and keep things organized. And when you're pushing so high up the field, it is a danger of leaving the gaps in between the back line and the midfield and being prone to the counterattack. And if you don't have the center backs that are able to keep things organized, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And a good example of that is the Red Bulls earlier this season when they went 1-6 to start. Mm. So I think it certainly can translate, but those are the areas that I'll be keeping my eye on for Atlanta. What do they do in the defensive midfield spot? And obviously they have at least one candidate there already, but also how much money do they go and spend on the center back position?
Martino is a name that obviously people are going to know, or players are going to know, and we still hear names like Guardado being rumored with Atlanta United. Is he a guy that can him alone? Maybe not him alone, but Martino, along with everything else that's going on, is Martino just kind of a plus for some of the players that are maybe thinking about coming to Atlanta?
Absolutely. I think that's got to be part of the hope when you make this hire, that a coach with this stature can help to sell players on coming to Atlanta. There's no doubt that that is going to be a part of the equation and a part of the pitch from now on when it comes to Atlanta. You can't be certain that it's going to work that way, but you better believe it's part of the sales pitch. And, you know, it gives you is instant credibility. That matters on a marketing level. You know, you point to Kaká in Orlando City. It gave them instant credibility around the world when they were talking to players. And it gives you instant credibility within the league. And I think that Martino brings that to the table. I think he's a guy who, you know, he coached Messi. And that's all he needs to say when he sits down. Just bring up one example of some conversation he had with Messi and you're good to go, right? You're in with the players. So I think it'll definitely be a part of the process. And I'm sure it factored into the decision-making for Atlanta as well.
And then last thing, you know, I know here in Atlanta we're super excited to see how this turns out, but is there that same intrigue in across MLS?
Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone is going to be keeping an eye on any expansion team that comes in. But I think the thing about Atlanta that stands out to me in my discussions with different people is that the ownership group and the resources to back the ambition is a key part of why people are watching Atlanta. And as I wrote, I think this is the first major sign, at least the most prominent one. I think the training facility is a pretty good indicator as well of that ambition. And it sets the tone. And now everyone wants to see how it's going to work out, because if it works out well, it puts them in the conversation right away. And if it works out poorly, of course, it sets you back a couple years. The key is finding that balance. And, you know, it's also worth remembering, and this is maybe my personal thing I'm interested in watching, around the world, and especially in Latin America, coaches change jobs all the time. It's not like MLS where guys are in jobs for 3, 4, 5 years or longer. So, you know, how long do you keep Tata Martino's interest? How long before another team comes knocking? And how does that factor into things as well? For me personally, I'm interested to see how that cultural side of the sport works or maybe clashes in his first year or two in MLS.
Paul Tenorio, sideline reporter for Chicago Fire, writer at 442. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Paul Tenorio, 442, and sideline reporter for the Chicago Fire. And that wraps up our interview slate there. I thought every person we talked to had some very interesting thoughts to say about Tata Martino. And I think at this point, it's game on. You know, Tata's been hired, so now it's just start bringing in more players. January will be very interesting in terms of the transfer window opening up. You know, Atlanta United has signed one DP, two more slots. Can they bring in one or maybe two more high impact players? That's really the next thing I think we have over the horizon.
Yeah, I'm really happy we got to do this. One of the reasons we wanted to do this is we didn't want to spend the next 2-3 weeks interviewing people after the immediacy of Tata Martino's hire was kind of gone. So figured might as well do shorter interviews with as many people as we could. We try to get more, but unfortunately, I think five is our limit, at least for one episode. So good that we could get to all of them, and you get a little bit of everything. Just a little something we're going to bring to you every once in a while.
Exactly. And don't forget, we have coming up a little later this week our interview with El Presidente himself, the man, Fernando Fiore. We are very much looking forward to that. We were going to do this last week, but he was overseas, and it just worked out better to be able to wait for him to get back stateside and to be able to have a much longer interview with him.
I think he was in Madrid, that lucky bastard.
Yeah, I know, right? It must be a tough life to live. For those of you who have been like myself, it is a very, very beautiful, beautiful place. I still hold my picture of sitting on the players' bench at Santiago Bernabeu as one of my most prized possessions. So definitely a cool, cool city, and definitely jealous that that is where Mr. Fiore was. But hey, that's all right. We get to talk to him now, so. That's going to be very, very fun coming up here in a few days. And that'll wrap up this edition of the Mouths of the South podcast. Don't forget to continue to piece together the pieces of the phrase that pays. We're not going to drop one of those on the Fernando Fiore episode because we want to spend as much time with Fernando Fiore as possible. So we're three words into that. Make sure to keep keeping up, I guess, with the phrase that pays. And don't forget, patreon.com, patreon.com/MOTS podcast. If you would like to be a supporter of the Mouths of the South. And that'll put a nice little bow on this edition of the Mouths of the South podcast. For Eric Quintana, I am Sam Franco, and we will be back very soon with another exciting episode. Atlanta, take her easy.
See ya.